Good morning. This is Pastor Kevin, and I'm here with you this morning on Pentecost Sunday at the First Christian Church in Vancouver. And I want to welcome you all. And this talk is about Pentecost. Pentecost was celebrated on the Feast of Weeks. And we celebrate it to this day, 50 days or 7 Sundays after Easter. And it's the celebration in Judaism of the first fruits of the wheat harvest. And we celebrate on this day, Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised that he would send the Comforter after he left, after he ascended into heaven. He would send the Comforter. And the coming of the Comforter is marked as the birth of the church. And we have that story of the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And the whole chapter is the story, but I'm going to read just verses 1 through 11 of chapter 2 in the book of Acts. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongue the mighty works of God." Now I want to read to you what Jesus said about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." John 14:16 then says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Comforter to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And then in verse 26, "But the Helper," which is also translated Comforter, "the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance of all that I have said to you." See, this Holy Spirit is promised to Jesus' followers as the Comforter, the one who will come when he has ascended into heaven. And so in the book of Acts, Jesus ascends into heaven, and then we have in chapter 2 the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. This is very powerful. So let's just ask ourselves, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Spirit of God? If someone asked you that question, how would you answer it? In Judaism, The Spirit of God, or the Holy Spirit, refers to the divine force, quality, and influence of God over the universe or over his creatures. In Christianity, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and the Holy Spirit acts as an agent of divine action or communication. In the Old Testament, in Hebrew, the word for spirit is ruach, and in the Greek, in the New Testament, the word for spirit is pneuma. And we know that in Genesis chapter 1, we are told that God breathed the spirit, the ruach, breathed life into all creatures at creation. The book of Job says if God withheld the spirit from all living creatures, there wouldn't be any creatures alive. And as Christians, we are told by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that it's the Holy Spirit that gives people the gifts of the Holy Spirit. See, we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit laid out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us there's a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's the gift of services. There's varieties of activities, but it's the same God. And to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the Spirit of utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all of these gifts are empowered by one and the same Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit is the one who apportions to each one of us, to each individual, as he wills. But now listen to this. At the end of chapter 12, after Paul talks about the gifts and how these gifts are given by the Spirit, he says, the very last sentence, and I will show you a still more excellent way, and that is the way of love, and that is outlined in 1 Corinthians 13. It's known as the love chapter. Now, I want to say to all of us that this way of love is not a way that we can do without the help of the Holy Spirit. And I believe it's the heart of God to bring comfort, for the Holy Spirit, the comforter, to breathe his spirit through the church, through each one of us, and to bring comfort by the love of God to a hurting world. And I want to highlight for you through three different scriptures, real quickly, three ways that I believe God wants to use us and breathe life into this hurting world through us, the church, thereby demonstrating the love of Jesus Christ to this hurting world and drawing all people to himself through the church. And the first scripture I want to highlight is Lamentations 3:22-24. Now this scripture is a scripture that scholars believe was written by the prophet Jeremiah. They believe the book of Lamentations was written by Jeremiah, and it's after the Babylonian captivity, and many of the Jews had been taken into captivity by the Babylonians, and the city of Jerusalem is in rubble, and great destruction has happened. And Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, is walking through the destruction and the rubble, and he gets a word of hope from the Lord, and he shares it in these verses. These verses are very meaningful to so many people, and I believe because they contain in them the heart of God, of God's heart to comfort others who are going through things. You know, we're either going into a problem, in the middle of a problem, or coming out of a problem. One of those three things is what we seem to be in all of life, and also those around us. So this ministry of comfort by the power of the Holy Spirit is essential. And I think sometimes we have forgotten that that's the whole reason for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's the whole reason, is because the gospel is demonstrated by the church. The gospel of Jesus Christ, what Christ did for each of us on the cross, the death and resurrection of Christ, what brings meaning to that, to this world, this hurting world, is when the world experiences the Holy Spirit, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, through God's people. So let me read to you what God's heart is towards this hurting world. These are the words in verse 22 through 24 of chapter 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Those are powerful words of God's heart towards us. I tell you, when people are going through very difficult times, they question what God's heart is towards them. They question God's intentions. They ask why. I have found that the question why is not that helpful, and I don't get very far with it. You know, we often say another word after the word why, and that's the word me. Why me? And asking why me, it's like being on a treadmill. There's a lot of times not a good answer. We live in a fallen world, do we not? There's all sorts of things that can befall us in this fallen world. All kinds of things can contribute, for instance, to illness. It can be our environment. It can be genetics. It can be things that humans have done, or just a random thing, seemingly. And so why me, or why, is not, for me anyway, going to take me very deep into a helpful approach on how I'm going to respond to whatever problem I'm facing. But if I want to bring someone a word from the Lord, this is a good place to start, so that they can know that God's love is steadfast for them. God's love never ceases. God's mercies never come to an end. And they're new every morning. They're always cropping up. It's amazing the newness of things, how God can give us new opportunities, new things, new gifts of his mercy. And this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do through God's church. not only to people in the church, but to this hurting world who need to experience the goodness of God. People desperately need to be able to say with the prophet Jeremiah, "The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will hope in him." Another favorite passage that I believe gives me insight as to what God's Holy Spirit wants to do for me and for you when we're going through hard times comes from Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. Especially verse 29 shows God's heart. It says, "He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." One of the things that I try to do when I'm meeting with somebody who's going through very hard times is I try to find out and sense what in their faith is giving them strength. And we all in faith are strengthened by the Lord. And so how can I support them in that? And what a beautiful promise that he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. You know, when the Holy Spirit ministers to us his comfort, we do get a renewed strength. Even though physically we feel spent, when our spirit gets strengthened, and in the Lord we feel peace and hope, somehow that gets conveyed to our physical bodies. It's amazing how our faith can affect our whole being. And so I think the second thing that's important for people to know, and these aren't, you know, chronological order, these are just things I'm sharing from my heart on scriptures that demonstrate what I believe the Lord wants. But for us to know that the Lord wants to give power to us in our weakness. He wants to give us strength when we feel no strength at all. And that might just be spiritual strength, but that spiritual strength is huge. How it can change our perspective and the way we look at things and give us peace. And that's a supernatural thing that comes from the Lord. And we need that in hard times. And the last thing I want to highlight that I believe the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, wants to give others through us in our ministry. You know, the Christian ministry is all about others. God doesn't equip you or give you gifts so that you can relish in them and be all about me. I know that really I should say he doesn't give us gifts for that reason. We're not to be all about ourselves. We're to let the Holy Spirit flow through us to others. And there's something so life-giving when we let the Holy Spirit breathe the Spirit, his Spirit of comfort and help to others during their time of need. And here's what Isaiah 43, verse 2 says. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." See, the promise is not that we won't go through hard times, like the rivers, but that he will be with us when we do go through the rivers. And not that we won't go through the fire, but the fire will not burn us, and the flame will not consume us. That means that the Lord will be with us every step of the way. When we're going through hard times, we don't know what the outcome will be. But we can know that God will go with us through whatever we're going through. That we can ask God to be our comfort and our help. And God promises that we won't be overcome by the circumstances. I have seen people go through very difficult times, and I've seen them come out of those very difficult times in this life. I've also seen them in very difficult times at the end of their life. And God walked with them every step of the way in a spiritual sense. And death became a door, not the end. And as Christians, we view death as not the end. And it's something that I know we all face at some point. We have a birth date and a death date. But death is not the final word. That's what we believe as Christians, that through Jesus, his death and resurrection on the cross, we have life, and life more abundantly. And he promises that we won't be overcome by the circumstances of life, that in faith we can know he walks with us every bit and every step of the way. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is here to minister to others the love of Jesus Christ. It's the more excellent way. And everything that we are given by this Spirit is to be used to show others that more excellent way, so that people will know that God and the grace of Jesus Christ is for them and not against them. And that through Christ, we can have life and life more abundantly. And that the Comforter is here for them in every circumstance. God bless you, and may the Holy Spirit breathe his comfort in the more excellent way through your life. Amen.